This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Evan. Now, can you help put this into context for us? What exactly does this mean for Hong Kong's legislature?
Well, I think the election is important because it's the first sort of election into the legislature after the umbrella movement, and frankly, since the umbrella movement, and I think especially with the way the local authorities here and also sort of Beijing had reacted to it, that there's been a rise in localist candidates. So it's not just that. These are sort of young candidates who are involved in the umbrella revolution or the umbrella movement. It's that they have sort of increasingly lost faith in the current political system and are open to the possibility of Hong Kong even being a separate city.
Evan, this is Sharad speaking. It's interesting, you used two words, a word there, localist. I'd never heard that used in quite that context. What does it mean for people from Hong Kong when they speak of a localist candidate or a localist agenda, a local agenda, would it be? And what do you make of the fact that there were all these other Democrats before? We had people like Martin Lee. What's happened to them in this celebration of these results of these young people getting into the LegCo?
Well, localism in sort of a Hong Kong context is a recent. When I say recent, it's sort of been building over the last sort of 5-6 years, and basically there's been a growing feeling that mainland China and Beijing have been playing a greater role in Hong Kong. Quite often seen to the detriment of local people. And basically, there's been a growing sense of pride in Hong Kong, a growing sense of sort of distinction between people in Hong Kong and people on the mainland. And really sort of underlying the political localism here is this sort of sense of distinction and wanting to be, or really wanting these distinctions, the things that make Hong Kong different, being to be recognized by Beijing. And
to my second question, which is about Martin Lee and that generation of Democrats in Hong Kong.
Well, the thing with sort of Martin Lee, they really sort of represented another generation. I mean, Martin's very old now. Even before the umbrella movement came about and before you had Occupy, he sort of made it clear that his generation of pro-democracy leaders were looking to pass the baton on to a new generation. I think what you see in this election result, though, is that a lot of the sort of more moderate pan-democrats, people who I think are more molded in the inheritors of the old pan-democratic sort of policies, that they've actually been quite they're still there, but the there is a shift certainly amongst younger voters to people who do take a more extreme lines. I mean, the thing with Martin Lee and the old generation was they really believed in fighting for democracy through existing political systems, and I think what you're seeing with sort of the localist candidates is a total rejection of the system because they just believe it hasn't worked. What you often hear them saying is that sort of Martin Lee and the traditional pan Dems, they keep asking for things, they keep going to Beijing, that they keep taking a reasonable line and all they really get is slapped down. So there's a sense of, we don't believe this approach is working anymore.
Right. So coming back to the younger leaders now, Evan, I mean, we've got Nathan Law, who's 23 years old. He helped lead the umbrella protest in 2014. So he was the person who garnered the second highest number of votes. And he spoke to CNN after the results came in, talking about his plans for the future.
Well, I think they will be very worried because actually I'm representing a new vision of Hong Kong's future and a brand new force of resistance camp. And actually the Communist Party is worrying that would it be another wave of protest, another wave of resistance. And I believe that for the following 4 years, not only talking about policies in the Legislature, but also I will continue my civil disobedience and organizational work outside the council in order to push forward more resistance power and then try to fight against autocracy.
So what did you think of that, Evan? The fact that Nathan says he wants to continue with his civil disobedience. Do you think the needle will move at all, given that there are now, say, at least 4 young pro-democracy activists on Legco?
Well, actually, sort of, in the localist camp, it's far more fragmented. I mean, Nathan actually doesn't represent the radical element at all. I mean, he actually tries to distance himself from people like Edward Leung. Basically, before the election even started, that there were 6 localist candidates who openly sort of represent the view that Hong Kong should work towards being an independent city. They were actually debarred from even running, which was highly controversial in Hong Kong. I think a lot of people felt that they should have at least had the chance to stand to run. You know, whether they were allowed to take up their seats would have been another matter. And so Nathan actually, you know, he isn't really seen as so radical. I mean, I think the critical thing which he sort of said there was, you know, the sense of needing to protest. It's not really, I think, a position that's kind of based on advocating a realistic or sort of pragmatic policy for Hong Kong. I think it's really, it is in many ways a protest vote. It's a sense that the current situation doesn't work, that there's a lot of young people, for example, in Hong Kong are really kind of fed up with the way the pro-establishment political parties sort of operate. You know, there's a lot of, you know, quite well-founded allegations of bribery, of, you know, certain gifts being given, really what I think young people feel, elderly people, you know, people from old age homes being sort of brought in by the pro-establishment camps, and I think it's basically got to a stage when people just sort of say, look, this isn't the way Hong Kong is supposed to operate. You know, we really sort of reject this type of politics.
Evan, you know, just coming back to the question of the legislature, it's dominated by pro-Beijing forces. But is Beijing going to be concerned about the sprinkling of dissident voices within the legislature? Is this something that Beijing has already kind of pronounced on?
I think so. You know, most definitely. I remember sort of waking up, the day after voting, and you know, as the results came in, I was thinking, you know, it's really not the results Beijing wants, certainly it's. I think the big thing is it doesn't tie into the supposed reality that Beijing is trying to paint about Hong Kong. The pro-establishment groups in Hong Kong, they often talk about the silent majority when they have been sort of banging on this line that the majority of people in Hong Kong who are somewhat sort of apolitical and who don't vote actually support the Beijing line. I think what's been clear in this election, because it is a record turnout. It's 58%, nearly 60% of people who are eligible to vote, have voted. It's the fact that it seems to be all the new voters are not sort of buying into the Beijing line. It seems as though, you know, potentially the silent majority actually isn't really towing the Beijing line at all. And I think Beijing will react not only because of these separatist voices, which obviously is not good, but also because it's a challenge to the image of Hong Kong that I think Beijing wants to believe.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.